Good morning. Welcome to the worship service this morning in the sanctuary and online as we continue to come and celebrate the gift which God has given to us, His risen Son, Jesus Christ. Today, we get a chance to celebrate Ascension Sunday when our Lord ascends into heaven. And Pastor Mike will have a wonderful sermon as we continue to take and understand the true gift which God has given to us in the blessing of His Son. At Desert Hills, we have our mission statement, which really becomes part of who we are. For you see, at Desert Hills, we celebrate,
grace.
We make,
disciples.
Who?
Make a difference.
Celebrating grace, because God has come in, He has died on the cross for us, He has forgiven us, and it is truly not because we are so special, but because God has made us so, as God's children, called and gathered, truly, to recognize the wonder of God's gracious life and God's gracious gift of His life to us. A few announcements as we begin. First of all, note that fair trade sales are happening in the north hallway. Note that the chocolate and the oils and the coffee, you got to eat the chocolate before you leave. So, you know, gosh, because it'd be a shame for it to melt on the way home. So it's a great opportunity to support those who are doing the work of farming. And it takes out a lot of the middleman expenses. So thank you for supporting that. New member classes continue this week. They will be a Thursday night at 6 o'clock. Even if you didn't make the first one, come to the second one so that you can continue to take and experience what it is to be Desert Hills and what it is to be part of this place. It truly is an amazing thing. Also, this week, Friday, May 26th, Food, Fun, and Fellowship Team is going to be sponsoring a trivia night from 5 to 7 p.m. It's going to have grilled hot dogs and hamburgers. It's a time, again, to test knowledge. They had the one a couple months ago. And what was interesting is I wonder if people are developing teams of intelligence. I don't want to say they're stacking the teams, but, you know, no. Come and enjoy as we share that fellowship and knowledge. Just for information, the church office will be closed on Memorial Day. Next weekend, we'll be recognizing and celebrating the reasoning for the weekend, but we'll go ahead and make sure that the office is closed on that Monday. I believe that that's all the announcements this morning. We're so glad all of you are here and joining us as we continue to enter into the worship today. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank You that You have called us, You have gathered us, wherever we are, oh God, to be able to hear Your promise of love, care, for the forgiveness, the grace, the hope, and the joy that we have because of You coming into the world. Lord, as we continue to take and experience this time together, help us to focus our minds and our energies upon Your Spirit that You have provided for us to allow us to believe in the awesome promises of Your resurrection. We do all of these things, O God, because of and through Your blessed Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please stand as we sing our opening hymn.
Thank you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy. that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first scripture reading is from Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 11. Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly, two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." The word of the Lord. Today's second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Jesus said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Come, Holy Spirit, come and fill our hearts with your fire. Come and fill us with your presence. As we gather here today in our sanctuary and online, come, Holy Spirit. May that Spirit fill you this day and every day of your life as we journey together in this journey of faith. Amen. If you read in the Gospel of Luke, you will discover that this event of Jesus that we just heard about happened on the 40th day. The 40th day after the resurrection of Jesus on that Easter morn. Now, someone asked me last night, what did Jesus do between Easter and that 40th day? Which is a really good question. And if you read in Scripture, Jesus seems to hang out. He goes to the beach, has some fish. He walks through some doors. But he kind of goes in and out of disciples' lives during that time, that 40 days between the resurrection and ascension. This day in which we just celebrated this past Thursday. It's always on a Thursday because it's always the 40th day after Easter. Ascension. Now, if you're like me, I didn't do anything on Thursday to celebrate ascension. I didn't have an ascension party. I didn't send out cards. I didn't even really think about it. Because oftentimes ascension is often overlooked in the church. We move through the Easter season, but we don't spend a whole lot of time on this day of ascension. If I would be honest, most of the time I thought ascension was simply a way for us to move from the time of Jesus to the time of the church. That ascension stops Jesus' activity on earth, and now we move into the work of the church through the Spirit of God. Or you can really see ascension as Jesus' final goodbye. If you look in Scripture, Jesus talks about, as he enters into Jerusalem, how much longer do I have to be with you? He gets frustrated with the disciples and with us. He tells us over and over again, and we just don't quite get it. So oftentimes, I think we see ascension as Jesus finally leaving. He just wants to go back to where he's in authority. But this morning, I want to share with you why ascension was a critical part of the early church, and three reasons why ascension continues to be important for us today, this 40th day after Easter. The first reason why ascension is important not only to the early church but for us is because at ascension, Jesus is exalted to be a king. That if you look at Scripture, really, the movement of Scripture is from the time when humanity rebels against God, rebels against the kingship of God. When we tell God, we don't want to listen to you. We don't want you in authority. That's what sin is. Sin isn't simply bad behavior. It's simply wanting to do what you want to do. And if you think about the very beginning of our brokenness, it was a rebellion against God's authority. And in fact, Scripture lays out God's plan for God to return to authority and to bring back those who rebelled back under God's authority. And the ascension of Jesus is that point when Jesus is exalted as king. Hear from Paul in Ephesians, when Paul writes, God's power raised Christ, who is Jesus, from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. And we know the right hand is the hand of power, authority. Jesus has been exalted to the place of authority. And what kind of place is this, according to Paul? Far above all rule, all authority, all power, all dominion, and every name. Not just some, but every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but in the age to come. Philippians reminds us that every tongue will confess, every knee will bow, all the nations will come. The ascension of Jesus is the way for the church to proclaim that Jesus is once again returned to authority, and the kingdom of God is now. And I want us to think for a moment what that meant for this early church who is being controlled and persecuted by the Roman Empire, where Caesar is king, where the one command, the one requirement of every Roman citizen is to offer up once a year the proclamation that Caesar is God. Caesar is my king. They didn't care what else you worshipped as long as you were willing to make that proclamation. You can worship whatever you want as long as Caesar, the emperor, is your ultimate authority. Now listen to Christians who say, Jesus is our king. You can understand why the Roman Empire had such a hard time with Christians. It was because they refused to admit that Caesar was king. They in fact said, Jesus has been exalted. Listen to this. Jesus was taken up and placed in authority. The book of Luke is written to a Roman citizen who's in authority. He understands that movement. And when anyone in the Roman Empire hears that Jesus is exalted, they understand that means the emperor has lost his place. Jesus now is king. And that still is true in our world today. No matter what powers, what authorities, what dominions try to claim ownership over us, we are reminded in the ascension that Jesus now has authority. In the early church, they did not see the kingdom of God as someone else. They saw the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world overlapping. And that when Jesus moved from the kingdom of the world into the kingdom of heaven, what they're saying is Jesus now can be in all places at all times because he is no longer bound by the limitations of the earth. He is now in the kingdom of God, which is everywhere at all times. So Jesus' authority is everywhere at all times. But it doesn't stop there. The ascension also makes the proclamation that Jesus is our high priest. Listen to what the writer of Hebrews proclaims. Now the main point of what we are saying is this. We have such a high priest who sits down at the right hand of the throne of the heavenly, in the majesty of heaven. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for them? The high priest in the Jewish understanding of their relationship with God, the high priest was the only one that could intercede on behalf of the people of Israel for the forgiveness of sins. It was the high priest who would go behind the curtain and go to the mercy seat of God and offer the sacrifice. It was a high priest who interceded for his people. And now we are claiming Jesus is our high priest. Jesus now intercedes for us. Past couple weeks, Pastor Craig talked about how the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift of God to live in our hearts, to live in our lives. But we are also reminded in the ascension, not only do we have an advocate with us here on earth, but we have a high priest who intercedes for us before God. A high priest who understands what it means to be forsaken. A high priest who understands what it's like to grieve and to lose loved ones. A high priest who understands our struggles. That one now intercedes for us. Not one who has to somehow have their own sins forgiven, but one who has not sinned now intercedes for us before God. We have a high priest. We have a high priest in the heavenly realms, not one that can only have access once a year, but one who is constantly interceding on our behalf, who has authority. And finally, the gift of the ascension is this: our humanity, creation itself, is now part of God in a new way. That's what we hear when Jesus not only goes to heaven, but will return the same way. Part of that, Jesus continues to be human in the relationship with God. Jesus does not discard his humanness when he leaves and ascends. Jesus is still fully human and fully God, but in a new way, because of the resurrection and the ascension. Somehow all of creation has been taken up into God. Read what Paul writes in Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in pain of childbirth right up to this present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. See, because Jesus goes up in bodily form, our bodies are being redeemed. Our bodies, creation, this creation that has been broken because of our rebellion against God, is now being restored because Jesus has taken it up into heaven, into the realm and power of God. That we are more than spirit, we are physical. We are body, spirit, and in Jesus we are united with God. In a new way. That's why Jesus can say, I am in you and you are in me. Because in Jesus, in the resurrected Christ, creation has been restored. That separation that happened because of our rebellion has been healed in Christ. Because he has taken on our form. He has taken on creation. And brought its healing. That's the power of ascension. Ascension is just as critical to us in our journey of faith as Easter is. For without ascension, these gifts of God, his kingship, his priesthood, the very redemption of creation could not fully be realized. But because Jesus has returned for us to God's authority, God's kingdom, so too we now have access. So too now we trust that the separation between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world is being restored. And like the book of Revelation reminds us, there will be a new heaven, there will be a new earth. No longer will God be separated from God's people. God will once again walk among them. They will no longer need the sun because God's glory will shine in them. And there will be no more weeping. There will be no more tears. There will only be joy in God's presence. And that happens, sisters and brothers in Christ, because of the ascension. Because Jesus returns with authority as our king, our priest, and part of who we are as part of God's creation. So if you'd like to go a little deeper in today's text, I invite you to think about this. Jesus has ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Father, interceding on your behalf, on our behalf. What is your reaction to that statement? How can that give you hope and healing? And how can that maybe next year on that 40th day after Easter, that Thursday, you take a moment and remember you have a king, you have a high priest, and somehow all of creation is being restored back to the way God created it in unity and connectedness to God, our creator and our redeemer. And maybe take a moment and give thanks and celebrate. For we have the day of ascension, the day of our Lord. Amen.
Together, let us affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We will now have the gathering of offerings. The psalmist in Psalm 93 affirms the majesty and splendor of God. The Lord reigns. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. Indeed, the world is established, firm, and secure. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity. The seas have lifted up, Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves. Mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea, the Lord on high is mighty. Your statutes, Lord, stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days. Let us pray. Almighty God, we come this day to give you our thanks, prayers, and gifts of time, talent, and treasure for your mission in the world to bring good news, help, and hope for all people. God of new life, bring us hope. We remember those who have recently died, including Gene Wyman. Oh God, receive them into the arms of your mercy and everlasting peace. And may the truth and promise of God's resurrection bring comfort and hope to their family and friends who grieve. God of new life, bring us hope. New to our prayer list are Dan Floro, Glenda Perea, and Marshall Wake. We take time now to silently pray for those who remain on our prayer list, as well as for others in our hearts and for situations in our lives. As we remember the ascension of Jesus into heaven, let our hearts ascend with him. We hear, in the words of the apostle, if you have risen with Christ, set your hearts on the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Seek the things that are above, not the things that are on earth. God of new life, bring us hope. We pray for our world, our nation, and our community. As the ravages of war and violence continue to claim lives and destroy families, we cry out to you to bring your kingdom and power and wisdom into our lives and homes. As your people, strengthen us so that we can be instruments of peace and healing for the broken world in which we live. God of new life, bring us hope. We pray, Lord, for those who need to feel you close, who need the assurance of your love and the encouragement of your spirit. We pray for those who are filled with guilt, who are brokenhearted, and those who are perplexed because of difficult relationships. God of new life, bring us hope. We pray for those in our community who are experiencing hardships and despair. Many in our midst struggle with illness, loneliness, and despair, looking for glimmers of hope. May we, through the gift of your Spirit, be signs of that hope. And may we seek to encourage one another so that your kingdom might be known in their lives. God of new life, bring us hope. Be with us all, Lord, in our daily struggles as we seek to follow you. Be with us all, Lord, in our periods of doubt and despair, and in our times of happiness, health, and loving. Be with us all, Lord, until that time when in your kingdom of love, our joy will know no end. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and in all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord, who after his resurrection appeared openly to his disciples, and in their sight was taken up into heaven, and he might make us partakers of his divine nature. And so with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Stand for the promise. In the night which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to all to drink, saying, "Take and drink, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in the remembrance of me." We pray together the prayer which our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the King, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. For those who are online, please take the bread, take the wine. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for you this day. This is the blood of Christ shed for you, for the strength and wonder that God continues to create the community of faith. For those in the sanctuary, know that all are prepared. The dark color is the wine, the light color is the grape juice. There's gluten-free wafers that are available. Come, for all is ready. we have been blessed by this heavenly food as truly our Lord and Savior goes with us now through this week. Hear this ascension blessing. As Jesus was lifted up and disappeared in a cloud, the disciples were asked this question. Why do you stand up looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go. In the meantime, friends, while we wait for his return, there is work to be done. Go with God's blessing to share the love of Christ, to bind the wounds of the brokenhearted, to be peacemakers, to tell what you yourselves have seen and heard. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we sing our closing hymn.
Now there is work to be done.
We go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.